The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network studios.
Good Monday. Thanks for being with us. We have the baseball trade deadline today. We are hopeful that the Diamondbacks will bring the broom out today and sweep out quite a few players. We will get into that. I was out at Cardinals yesterday. We have to talk about death today. It's a lot of death. Some of it you know about, some of it you don't. One of them impacts me in a big way that I will get to. And there's a lot that's going on in the valley, even though on the surface you may be thinking, well, there really isn't. This Wednesday is probably the biggest day in high school sports that I can recall in all the years that I've been here. This Wednesday, the executive board of the AIA is going to decide whether or not they're going to start their clock on schedule to play football on October 2nd and other sports. And so Richard Obert from the Arizona Republic, who has covered the Valley high school scene for many years, will be with us. And I want to get into Richard's thoughts on if the AIA move too slow, what will happen in this meeting, what are coaches telling him, and all that with Richard Obert. He will zoom in with us in this hour. Opening comments brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union for you and yours. Over the weekend, I had some business to take care of, some transactions to take care of. I went through the drive-through, took care of business. The person on the other end of the drive-through just didn't process it, send it back, and away we go. How are things? How is your day? Is there anything else I can help you with today? Make sure you have a nice weekend. I don't know about you, but in this day and age where everybody seems to be at each other, canceling each other out, or just get out of my way and I got to go do my thing, it's kind of nice just to have a conversation when you're out doing your thing. Once again, Desert Financial Credit Union, that's where Sports 360 AZ takes care of their business. They take care of us. We appreciate their support. Eric is with us. Eric Sorensen on a Monday morning. We have big breaking news within the staff. We have a staff. Did you hear about this? The staff change with the recruiting roundup guy?
I did. It's exciting.
Yeah.
I'm happy for that guy.
So Jordan Hamm, should we have him on? Should we just like Zoom bomb him? Call
your
him
show?
In?
Or? It's your, hey, it's your show.
Well, you're sure the executive producer. Your I'm voicemail sure says executive producer.
I'm sure he's working hard on the recruiting roundup because today is a busy work day for us. But
yeah. You got somebody there vacuuming for you or?
No, they just decide next door to cut the grass right around the time our show starts. So if it sounds like there is someone, blowing leaves around my living room,
right.
They're just right next door. So I apologize. But
no, you're good. So Jordan got engaged.
Out of my control. Yes, he did.
Jordan got engaged. He got engaged to Sarah Cazell. We know Sarah. Sarah does good work over on 98.7, their afternoon update sports person, with Dave Burns and John Gambadoro. So Sarah Cazell. Jordan landed a 5-star recruit, took her off the market, got the verbal. Got to get the pen out now, though, right?
That's it. Yep.
Don't want any flipping. No flipping.
I don't think we'll have to worry about her flipping.
I want to know who she eliminated.
I'm sure it was a bunch of different Power 5 schools
that were
courting her and sending her letters and making her edits and taking her on official visits. No, I'm just kidding. none of that was happening.
There was never a blessed and amazed on social media to be offered by. I was somewhat disappointed by that.
Yeah, and Sarah's not the kind of girl that puts all of her offers up on social media anyway, so I think it's a pretty firm commitment.
Yeah. If you want to just invite those guys in, I think it'd make for a pretty good show. If it's just like, hey, do you guys want to just come in here and blow some stuff around? I might freak the dogs out. But on a serious note, today the Diamondbacks should dump. I think today's got to be the last day for Robbie Ray, doesn't it?
No. What are you talking about? They're only 11 and a half games behind the Dodgers. With a month of baseball to play. Come on.
Well, I'm not even looking at them. They're 6.5 back of the Padres. Because the second...
Which is essentially like 11.5 games.
Well,
back, let's be honest.
Because with the expanded playoffs this year, right?
Yeah, I get it. Right.
So you have to look...
But we saw what the Padres did today at the trade deadline.
Oh, so. Man. They're like, we're going to go for it.
Yeah.
We're going to get guys right and left, and we're... That market, because it's the only thing going on over there, They are so jacked up for baseball, like so excited. And we're sitting over here like, oh, God, can we just get to the Cardinals?
I mean, do you think, Brad, the Diamondbacks are sort of looking at what how the Padres constructed their roster and are like, huh, they did it the right way. They didn't overspend. They didn't chase it too fast. They just kind of let it cultivate. And now they have a really exciting team with one of the best players in baseball, a really good pitching staff, which is super young. I mean, the blueprint is set up for the Padres to have success for a long time.
Well, so they did spend money on Machado.
They did.
But Hosmer.
But
you know what, Eric? You look at that now. Tatis is the guy on that team.
Of course. No doubt.
He's the guy. If the Padres said tomorrow, okay, we have to go make something big happen. We've got Manny Machado sitting over here. And they don't need to do that. The Diamondbacks, on the other hand, it's, okay, where exactly are we at here? You have a lot of money tied up in Madison Bumgarner, who's been hurt. Robbie Ray is just 3 1/3, 6 walks, 4 strikeouts, 5 earned runs, changes his look, changes his delivery. We've been through all that. Archie Bradley's been here a long time. Look, if you're going to get something for a closer on the trade deadline, today is the day to do it. Because the amount of fan, you can say that's a fan favorite. I just think in this market, we looked at them and said, hey, they're going to be heading the right direction. They're not. Carson Kelly, that trade right now for Goldschmidt, I'm just looking at it saying, okay, we're almost 2 years in on that deal. And I was listening to the Cardinal broadcast over the weekend, and they're just raving about Goldschmidt defensively and his bat. And I know he'd fall asleep in April, May, and June. But anybody who says that deal worked out better for the Diamondbacks right now, Luke Weaver's been hurt and ineffective. And Carson Kelly's not doing much. Vogt ends up getting more attention than...
Right.
You know. So...
Yeah, it's tough because I think the Diamondbacks maybe waited a little too long to trade Goldschmidt. And teams just are like, well, we're just going to wait this out because they're going to get to a point where they have to trade him. And they got to a point where they had to trade him. They probably could have gotten more. But I still think, Brad, if you look at the beginning of this year, if you put the Padres roster next to the Diamondbacks roster at the beginning of the year before the game started,
yeah,
I'd say the Diamondbacks were the better team, but they're not the better team.
How?
Just on paper.
Okay. If you did that with the Dodgers, how many Diamondbacks would be on the Dodgers? Would you take how many Diamondbacks would you take over Dodgers? One?
Very, very few.
Yeah, I mean Escobar.
Escobar
struggled this year, and I love him as a player. I love John Jay as a player, but I don't think John Jay is an everyday guy or every third day guy is even something that I'm that comfortable with. That if you're going to trade Peralta and you're going to trade Archie and you're going to trade Robbie Ray, what you're saying is we're a two-year away team. The fans are going to have to expect next year. And Ken Kendrick's already going to lose a ton of dough on this season because the Padres are, in my view, they have not just lapped. Like 6 weeks ago it was, well, the Padres and Diamondbacks I think are going to be fighting for that last spot in the or the second place spot. And now it's not even close.
Right.
Not even close.
But I think you can make the same point, Brad, about the rest of the NL West when you talk about how many of those players could actually like start on the Dodgers. Not many. The Dodgers are the best team baseball can buy. So
the death that's going on. Like it's just one thing after the next of people dying. And it's not even sports stuff. So let me just help me out here. So this morning, John Thompson passed away. Great coach at Georgetown. Luke passed away last week. Last time I checked, none of us get out of here alive. So we have to go through this. There comes an end time for everybody. Cliff Robinson passed away over the weekend. And Uncle Cliffy or people that follow the Suns know that Cliff Robinson had a tie to the Suns. I saw where Steve Nash was devastated by it. Chadwick Boseman passes away, and you know I didn't talk about this on the show last week. You know this. I had just an uncertainty deal going on with my colon, and they took some polyps out last week. But I had no idea for like 2 weeks what was going to happen. They just you tested positive, you need to get a test, and or you need to go in for a procedure. And so when I see Chadwick Boseman, he's 42. I interviewed him in the 42 movie just a few years ago. But Eric, there's a guy, and this is, you know how I am on this stuff. I get personal, but there's a guy named Ronnie Sizzler. Nobody's ever heard of Ronnie Sizzler. Ronnie Sizzler was the point guard a year younger than me in high school at Escondido High. Ronnie Sizzler was a really good baseball player. Ronnie ended up going to BYU. Ronnie ended up coaching a high school in Escondido, California, where I grew up. Ronnie and I hadn't seen each other in many, many years. He was getting money to build a field for a stadium for that. Ronnie was going for a walk Thursday afternoon in his little ranch out where I grew up in Valley Center, California, and a eucalyptus tree branch fell 31 feet, hit him in the head, and killed him. Boom. So I've been raw. I've just been like, death is part of it. And when I hear all this stuff, and I hear, so wait, somebody's life ended on a tree branch falling and hitting them in the head. Chadwick Boseman was 42 and worked and did amazing things. And his circle never let out how sick that he was.
Nope.
Right?
Nope.
And so, I when we heard about Lute last week, Lute had been struggling for the last couple years, from what I had heard. And like Cliff Robinson, Cliff's younger than me. So it's just been one thing after the next. Not to be so heavy here, but it's John Thompson. You talk about just a pillar. Like, I remember doing Final Four shows. I did a Final Four show in Charlotte, where I got Jerry Tarkanian and John Thompson together on the air. And it was like the coolest thing ever. Like, all right, I love doing this. I love doing this business. It's Tark and John Thompson. And, to see him pass away, and then all the great Allen Iverson today. I don't know if you follow him or not.
Yeah, I saw it.
Oh, my gosh.
I think Mike DeCourcy put up on Twitter or on one of his social media platforms, in the last 100 days, we've lost Lou Henson, Lute Olson, and John Thompson.
Eddie Sutton.
Yeah. So that's like, on the court, that's like 2,500 career wins. But off the court, you're seeing, especially with Lute, we knew Lute was a great coach, but I never realized like the impact that he made on his players off the court.
Yeah.
Because you didn't really hear about that a lot.
Yeah.
But from Gilbert Arenas to Luke Walton to Richard Jefferson, they all came out last week on social media, and a lot of it had nothing to do with basketball, which I thought was really cool.
Did you see the picture?
That's the impact that you want to leave behind. So.
Did you see the picture that Kenny Lofton put up?
I did, yeah.
Kenny Lofton, for those that didn't see it, he's wearing his Indians outfit, Cleveland Indians outfit, and he's along it looked like the first baseline, and Lute just showed up wanted to watch him play. Like, that's so cool. That is, I just think, and then Steve Kerr's stuff has been really emotional too, just to see what he's written. Tough stuff there.
And for Cliff, he passed away from lymphoma, and it's something that he had been dealing with for quite some time, and he was 53, not that old at all. Really sad.
So on the other side, there's a lot to get to with the Cardinals, and then Richard Obert will be with us on this high school. What's going to happen? This Wednesday is a huge, huge day, I'd say, in the history of Arizona high school sports, because if they push back again, I think there could be a bunch of changes. We'll get into that with Richard in about 15 minutes. Sports360AZ.com. He's Eric Sorensen. I'm Brad Sismad. So we are 13 days away, partner, from having Cardinals to talk about. It doesn't feel like, to me, it doesn't feel like the start of the NFL season. And it's not because we haven't had those worthless, just waste of time games in August. It feels different. I was out there yesterday. I decided to focus in on Chandler Jones and just see what he looks like during a practice. That guy is so impressive. He's the first in every drill. He beats himself up when he doesn't do his technique right. He gets coached up. He's encouraging other guys. He's all about business. He's not about show. He's not about any of that stuff. And he could have 20 sacks this season. It's really cool to just watch greatness. That's a great player.
He's also much bigger when you're standing next to him than he appears when you're either watching it from a press box or watching it on TV. Like, he's a big guy. Like, DK, Devon Kennard is a pretty big guy, and Chandler Jones just towers over Devon Kennard because they were standing next to each other last week doing drills when I was there. Like, and you're right. Chandler runs every single drill like he's trying to make the team. And that's the exact same thing Cliff Kingsbury said about Larry Fitzgerald last week, which I thought was great. Like, Fitz practices like he's an undrafted free agent. And that is just the ultimate compliment you can get from your coach.
Fitz is 37 today.
37.
Would he get a 37-year-old named Larry Fitzgerald for a birthday present? I mean, what would Larry want as a for a birthday present? Do you want a cake? Well, I'm in training. I don't need to eat a cake. Do you get him a watch, a new wallet, tie? I don't think he needs that. Does he need a new car? I don't think he needs that.
Maybe like an exotic vacation somewhere? No, he takes those. Pre-COVID, he took those all the time.
Golf clubs? No. I mean, what does a guy like Larry Fitzgerald even want for his birthday? I don't know.
New softball bat and glove? I don't know.
New softball
for
bat?
Charity event?
Three defensive players that can stop the run this year.
Right.
So it's not the sieve that we saw last season. I want to get into one thing with you because I value your opinion on everything, but on this one in particular, and then Richard Obert's going to be with us. What do you think happens Wednesday with high school sports? Because that's the day the executive board is going to announce. And there's so much confusion, anger, vile, venom, frustration. I just think there's all these emotions. And I'm just talking about the parents and coaches. But there's kids out there that the mental health side of it. And you know, my stance in June was, you guys should not even be out here. This is stupid. And it was the right thing to shut it down. The numbers then dropped. And I do think there's a correlation. And so now we're sitting here 6 weeks later, okay? And all weekend, all I'm seeing is high school football on ESPN. Not ESPN2, not ESPN News, not ESPN Plus, not ESPN Ocho, none of that. So I feel like if they stick with, we're going to start next week, we're going to play October 2nd, it feels right to me because the numbers are in the right place. But I'm still getting a lot of people that are saying, no, they're going to push back. I had someone this morning on the athletic director's level said they may push back all the way to January. So what do you think of all this?
I think, as you mentioned in the last segment, this is officially a crossroads for not just high school football, but all fall sports. But we're focusing in on the football side. Be a huge mistake if they push back again. I mean, the kids want to play. I think now most of the coaches want to play. And the kids are now at least in a routine. Things aren't normal in terms of like going into a classroom and learning, but they're getting more and more normal on the field. You know, you're seeing bigger groups during these workouts, and you're still seeing all the coaches following all the rules, but it just feels like we're ramping towards games. We're ramping towards pads. We're ramping towards workouts. And if the AA says, no, we're going to push it back another 2 weeks, it would be a big mistake, in my opinion, especially when you said, Brad, like all weekend we saw games in other states that were being played at the high school level. We saw a bunch of people in the stands. We saw some social distancing, some not social distancing, but it was just nice to watch high school football. And I'm thinking to myself, what are we doing here in Arizona? Because you're right, the numbers are trending down.
Yeah. No, the numbers are trending down. And my stance now in the last couple of weeks is let's go with it. I've got people that are saying it's not going to happen, that they're going to push back again. And it's all over the place. And it's fine. People get frustrated with me because I'm saying what's out there. It's what's out there. You know, when people start making it about fake news, I don't do fake news. If you think it's fake news, then just unfollow me and turn off this channel and please never show up again. That's not who I am. That's not who I ever will be. And I think the discussion has been very well thought out. And the discussion really focuses, in my world, on the Southeast Valley. You know, the East Valley as a whole, outside of Paradise Valley School District. And that's where you are. They're still not there, but it sounds like they're getting close, right?
Right.
Getting close to opening up. Glendale Union, still not open to go into stage two, stage three. Brophy, not open. West Valley, hot spots out in the West Valley from what I've heard. Tucson, not happening.
Phoenix Union,
Union, not happening. So there's still, this all goes to the dad that's really mad. Your kid's probably in a school that is ready to go. The dad who's, I'm not hearing from the dad whose kids are at Phoenix Union. I'm not hearing from the dad whose kids are over in Glendale. I'm not hearing from those dads. I'm hearing from the dads whose kids are at Higley and Williamsfield and Hamilton and Chandler. I got it.
And the thing is, Brad, we can, let's just call a spade, like the Southeast Valley is the hub for Arizona high school football. That's just the way it is. Like,
Richard Taylor's not going to like that. You're never going to get asked back to Centennial.
Most of the good teams are out in your neck of the woods in Albuquerque. They're not necessarily, you know, at other parts of the valley. So that is, you know, that is sort of like the core of high school football, because you're talking about Hamilton and Chandler and Williamsfield and Higley and Castile. And you can just go on and on and on. All those schools are out in your area.
But is it a political thing now, too?
Probably.
I think it's turned into a political thing, because there are those on the liberal side that think that this is exactly the right thing to do, is to keep it shut. And there's people on the conservative side that I've talked to that are just beyond furious that it's even gone this far, that it's just it's all going to go away the day after the election. And those people are out there. And so you don't. And here's the other thing, Eric. People want to hear what they want to hear. They just want to hear what they want to hear. They don't want to hear, here's what's really going on. Or they don't trust, here's what's really going on. Or they're so disillusioned with everything right now because of how it's all played out politically in our country, that they just want to barricade themselves in their house and just pull a blanket over them and say, we just need football to happen. Well, it's very difficult to get SMAC, which is the medical side, and the AIA to be together. That's what this comes down to on Wednesday. It's going to come down to SMAC versus the AIA, and they're actually together, and the executive board and what they're going to do. So
I just know if they push back, there's going to be a lot of people really pissed off the AIA. I mean, like,
well, there's going to be people that are going to say, let's do club football.
Exactly.
The club football thing is already picking up momentum beneath the surface. So there's one thing I know, a lot of things on this. It's the coaches that are saying, you watch, club football is going to take off because of this.
Even during the summer, Brad, I heard whispers of some schools out in your area or in that part of town that were just kind of like, yeah, let's get together and play some 7-on-7s with no coaches. I mean, I would think that that's more common than we actually hear about. But you're right. If there is no football, are we going to start seeing like super conferences just say, you know what, we're just going to form our own league.
Let's do our thing.
And we're going to play these games and we'll figure out refs and maybe we'll crown our own champion. I don't know. It just is. A year ago, if you would have said, hey, this is what we're going to be talking about on August 31st, I would have been like, yeah, right.
Well, and we'll break off this, but it's like what's happened to high school basketball. High school basketball has been ruined by club basketball. That's the only way to put it. And there'll be people that are in that business that are making big bank off that business. But the kids that just go to some so-called school and they play basketball all day and all night, and there's more of those kids that I talk to that fall through the cracks and it doesn't be a good experience. You cannot do that with football. You just can't. But there'll be people that will say, oh, yeah, you can, because you can make money off of it. That's it. Let's make money off kids. Richard Obert is next. Stay with us. As promised, Richard Obert is with us, longtime high school columnist for the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Appreciate him coming on board for a couple of minutes because Wednesday, Richard, you've covered this scene for so many years. Wednesday, if you're talking about magnitude of high school sports and whether or not they're going to push back again, delay again, or right, say we're ready to go, have you ever covered something quite like this where there's so much hanging in the balance, not just football, but volleyball, badminton? I mean, if you've covered anything like this before.
Yeah, it's. I've never seen this kind of anxiety, drama, anticipation, everything mixed into one. the stakes are pretty high. I don't, you know, I know the numbers in Arizona continue to go down. They continue to trend in the right direction. And yet there's more anxiety now than there ever have been. So it's an incredible mix of just people wanting to know. They've been wanting to know months ago. They've been wanting to know, you know, nobody's got a schedule. Nobody knows who's going to play who, what's going to happen. Is there going to be a season? Is everybody going to wait till January? If they do push it back again, it's gonna look bad in a way, just because about a month or so ago, they already set the timeline after meeting with the SMAC, after meeting with the Sports Medicine Advisory Committee and giving them some direction. They said, okay, we're going to go forward with this timeline. So since then, the numbers have gotten even better. You know, the metrics have improved in immensely since then. So why they would go back again and then push it further back, I don't know, unless they're looking at the Pac-12. They're getting advice from ASU. They're looking at what they're saying about myocarditis and the heart, and maybe because this, you know, they haven't met again since what the Pac-12 did. But you look at half of the United States are already playing football right now for high school. Mm-hmm. So if they're doing it and nobody's closing it down right now, I think Utah's 3 or 4 weeks in and nobody said, okay, that's the end of the season. We got to shut it down. So I don't know why Arizona couldn't go forward now.
Okay. So there's a lot there to chew on. In a general sense, the anxiety that I'm feeling from coaches, football coaches in particular, many have said, I don't want to be out here, but I'm going to be out here for the kids. Are you hearing the same things?
I'm hearing more. We may be talking to different coaches. Most of the coaches I talk to, they want to go. They want to play. They want to coach now. I know in Tucson, they don't want to coach. I think they want to wait till the spring because that's what the superintendents over there are saying. They're following the Pima County health officials, and they're saying we're not ready for students on campus, so therefore we shouldn't be ready for football. And the other thing is, if they're going to move all the fall sports, they've already started golf season. They've already, there's already been a great story with these two Desert Vista yep. golfers hitting holes in one. I mean, what are they going to do? Are they going to just all of a sudden stop golf and say, okay, hey man, we're going to have to pick it up in January, but we're done with golf for now. I mean, I just don't see them just saying, okay, all fall sports now are going to be moving. They've got to, if they're going to do something, maybe, you know, swimming to me is a tough one to get going because you got hundreds of kids on a pool deck. So I don't know how they're going to do that unless they do virtual. They just do okay. They're going to turn their times in at their practice sites and then match them up with other teams. But I have no idea what they're going to do. You know, it's just that's the big mystery right now. And when they met with the SMAC team on last week and then saying, well, we're going to wait another week and sort this out and then we'll decide what to do. It made people feel okay. Well, yeah, they're going to push it back. They're not ready to play right now.
And is that what you're hearing predominantly, that they are going to push back?
But I've also heard from sources saying, you know, those rumors are for naught, you know, that they're going to play that, you know, get ready for October 2nd, because I think that's when they're going to start the football season. So I'm hearing that too. I'm not really hearing so much. You know, there is speculation of that. There is fear and speculation from people saying, okay, we're going to have to push it back because other school districts aren't ready. Brophy's not ready. And that's a big one in the middle of Phoenix. Tucson's not ready. Phoenix Union's not ready. Paradise Valley, maybe, maybe not. Glendale is another maybe. You know, Peoria, I think, is ready. Tempe's ready. Mesa is kind of, I think, on the fence, but I think they're pretty much ready. I know Chandler, Queen Creek, Florence, all those school districts are more than ready.
Yeah, they've been ready for.
Yeah,
they've been ready since June.
Yeah, they wanted to go phase four, I think, in April.
Right. Yeah. That's you and I are hearing the exact same thing. Richard, yeah. Over with us for a few minutes. How has the AIA handled this, do you think? Because there's people that just want to hammer on David Hines, and I'm like, you know, nobody's been in a pandemic before. None of us. So anybody who's saying they're not doing it right, you don't know. And
right.
you are as involved as anybody. You're more involved than I am on this front. How's David Hines and the AIA handled it to this point?
Well, it's the same with Doug Ducey, you know, and him delaying in the opening, shutting down gyms again, bars, and and those businesses again, and then reopening, and then only to see it go bad, and then to close it down again, and then you're not gonna please everybody. You're just gonna be a good fraction of the population that's not gonna be happy about it. And I think that's what's going on with the AIA, is that they're not happy with the AI just making one decisive, clear statement that this is a go now. Whoever's in, you better be in now, because if you're not, then you're gonna be without a season. So, because the AI haven't done that, they've shown a lot of flexibility, which is probably good. I know Hines wants to play. It's a win for the AIA if they play football. I mean, they're going to lose. They're losing financially hard if they don't have any fall sports.
Right.
If they're going to wait until 2021. So, I know they're going to do everything in their power, everything they can to get it going in the time frame that they want right now. But at the same time, they want to make sure the medical side of it is being heard and being carefully sought, looked at, so that they're making sure that they're not going to fall into any kind of
liability. It's liability, like Richard, I think right there is it. It's look, if Smack said, we don't feel like last week, if last week it was, look, here's the recommendations, and the AIA says, well, we got to get on the field because exactly what you're talking about, or, and you know this, the fear of eventually club football taking over, that's below the surface with all these coaches, every last one of these coaches, I know it. But if you're saying, well, the medical side, we heard what they had to say, we heard the recommendations, but we played anyways. And if something happens, who's liable? It's right. Really that simple. If Smack said last week, no, and they kick it down the can for a week to this Wednesday,
right?
They go against Smack. That to me seems really, really interesting.
Yeah, it will be. And there's, they wouldn't say what's in the document, but apparently there's moving parts in this document. So yeah. I have, I don't know how you put that puzzle together, what those moving parts would be, if it's districts saying we need a few days to figure it out, and then we'll let you know if we're ready to go. I don't know what those moving parts are, but that's what's causing them to wait a few more days. And because there could be more things moving by Wednesday, there could be more things coming together, or I don't know, or lost, or in the shuffle, or whatever. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see if they make Wednesday the absolute deadline. Okay, this is absolutely what we're going to do. We're no going back, no going forward. This is it. And we're going to follow this to a T. And, no more flexibility. We'll have to see. But,
I think what you said earlier added to it, and that is Friday night there was high school football on TV, TV for people to see. And Saturday there was high school football for people to see. Yeah. And I know by Saturday afternoon, I had some coaches that said, I'm here and we're going to get pushed back. And fans just lost their minds over that because they're seeing it in other parts of the country. Right. I don't believe that there is anybody that really has it all nailed down, even here on Monday morning, of what will happen on Wednesday. Because you're probably getting the same stuff I'm getting of, yeah, we're here and it could be pushed back just a week. We're here and it could be pushed back 2 weeks. I got couple this morning, we're hearing it's going to be pushed back to January. So it's all over the roadmap. Fans want to know who's voting on this. I'm getting that question a lot. Who are making the decisions on this on Wednesday?
It's going to be the executive board, and they're going to have the final say, but I'm sure they're going to be very much influenced by the SMAC. They're going to be influenced by these medical people. And they're going to have to live with it, good or bad, or risking whatever they're going to risk. They're either going to risk it, or say, we got to wait, let's wait for a vaccine. If they keep pushing it more, they're just going to say, well, we're going to just wait for a vaccine and play in January, maybe by then there will be one. And then, but the numbers look way too good in Arizona, for them to go back now. And, this isn't July anymore. It's not June. It's starting up September, and the numbers keep going down and down and down. More
In June, I went on a rampage in late June and said, shut it down, because everybody was doing all sorts of different things. There's no uniformity. It was ridiculous. And it was the right move. And our numbers have now to the point where I feel like just looking at all this, of guys, you should just play or pull the plug on this because it's not fair to the kids.
Right.
Most importantly, forget about dad and mom. Dad and mom are watching you and I, but it's about the kids.
Exactly.
The kids cannot go through the, yeah, we might play, we may play, we're not going to play, and we're being pushed back again. It's like you're about to get on Space Mountain at Disneyland, but, oh, wait, the ride broke down. You can't do it. Right. Sorry.
They went through this last spring, you know, and they don't want to have to go through it again right at this point. You know, they already went through March, April, and May, you know, wondering what they're going to do, you know, and then having to wait two more weeks, waiting another month, and then finally saying, okay, we're not going to finish the AIA spring seasons. And now they're doing it now, saying they're not sure if they're even going to be able to start the fall season. So it's just unbelievable that they're having to wait this long. And I don't know if it's fair. I don't know how these other states did it, like Ohio. So they finally just say, okay, we're going to go, you know, and we're going to start on time. Same with Utah. And they had no problem with that. Why Arizona is different. Even though the numbers are dictating, it's good to play. I know the mental health of these kids, you know, have to be considered. And I mean, there's kids in Tolleson district where they're saying we're not ready to play. That they're forming their own teams. There's 45 to 50 kids out there at a park, you know, without mask, you know, close together playing their own games because schools won't let them be on their fields and play and be organized by coaches who are gonna make sure they follow the protocols. So by them doing this, these kids are all going to get together and do their own thing without protocols. So there's, you know, I don't know what they're trying to do, but it's hurting the kids in the end.
Yeah, and I've heard the same thing out here in Chandler. So not Chandler High School, but just the schools in the Chandler.
In Tucson too, yeah.
They just go to parks and they're going to just do their thing. And yeah, there are some people that are kind of advising them on to go do this and do that. And it's exactly what you're saying. So,
right. Hey,
I appreciate your time. Good catching up with you. The last question is, what do you think? What does your gut tell you should happen on Wednesday? Should happen and will happen.
I think they're going to go forward. I think you're going to see football on October 2nd. I really do. That's my gut feeling. You know, although at this point, I wouldn't be surprised if it's the opposite, you know, but that's just my gut feeling right now. We'll see, you know, I mean, there's just certain things out there that points to why, you know, because if they wait this long and then all of a sudden they're going to pull the rug out from under everybody less than a week before official football practice starts, that's just not a good look. That's just not a good look for because they've been working so hard to get ready for September 7th. A lot of schools have, a lot of coaches have, they put the resource, they put the time and effort in, and it's been 110, 115 degrees. They put all this time in. And then for them to say at the last minute, a week before you're ready to start official practice, we're not going to play. That's going to be hard. It's going to be hard for the AI to recover from that. I really think it's going to be a tough one for them to recover.
Yeah. And I tend to agree with you on what could happen. I'd say sitting here with you right now, it's 50-50. Would not surprise me at all if they push back.
Yeah.
You know, parents just want to say, oh, it's all great. Just go play. You have a board there. You have smack there. You have a lot of moving. It's not as simple as just go play. So
yeah. Governing boards are going to have the say. And those are parents. Usually those are made up of parents who are very concerned about their kids' health and well-being. And they're going to be more side. They're going to err to the side of caution more than maybe say the regular parent would be. So, you know, because they're going to look at the district and how are they going to be liable, whatever, you know, and they want to make sure, you know, if they do this, it's got to be done right. And they're not going to have to look back and regret everything that's happened by moving forward.
Good seeing you. Thanks for the time and great insight, Richard. Thanks.
Thanks, Brad. Thanks for having me on.
There's Richard Obert. You can find all of his content over at AZ Central Sports, longtime high school football columnist, feature writer as well. And we're back with more after this timeout.